Hello, and thank you for joining us. I am your host, Soulful Business and Leadership Coach, Jeffrey Biesecker. Intention is one of the most powerful forces we can experience. Nothing in the universe exists without intention. What you mean when you do a thing, your intention, will always play a powerful role in determining the outcome of your actions. The quality and commitment of your intention, your forethought, becomes the planning which guides your actions. On this episode, we focus on exploring the virtues of slowing down, digging in, and being aware of the values that shape and form our intentions. We discover how aligning within our values allows us to focus on what is most important to us, while being of value and service in the world around. Joining us this conversation is Alex Sanfilippo of Creating the Brand and founder of Podmatch.com, a podcast matching and booking solution for both guests and hosts. As we look at becoming more effective at creating a happy and purposeful life, guided by intention and meaning, on this episode of The Light Inside. As a podcast host and guest, my go-to podcast booking app is Podmatch.com. If you currently have a podcast, regularly guest on podcast, or if you are new to the podcasting game looking to start your show, Podmatch.com is an industry leader. They quickly and effortlessly connect ideal podcast guests and hosts. Their process is super easy and highly effective. Create your free guest or host account and set up your profile. It's really that easy. And the Podmatch AI will work its magic in the background, delivering your ideal interview matches within minutes, tailored uniquely for you. As a host and executive producer of the top 100 self-improvement podcast, The Light Inside, I found more high-quality guests on Podmatch than anywhere else and in a fraction of the time. So if you're looking to expedite your podcast booking experience, filling your calendar with high-engagement content, creating value and meaning for your listening community, check out podmatch.com, that's podmatch.com today, and discover your ideal match magic. Thank you for joining us today. I'm so excited. Today we have Alex Sanfilippo chatting with us. Hello, Alex, and thanks for joining us.
Hey, Jeff, how are you?
I am fantastic. How are you?
I am doing great. Thank you.
We've been moving in the same circles for a good while now, so I'm super stoked for this.
Yeah, for sure.
So how are things going with Podmatch? I know you're putting a lot of new energy into that.
Yeah, it's going actually really well. We broke 1,000 members last weekend.
Nice.
So it's really good. Yeah. So it's been a lot of organic growth and we've received a lot of constructive criticism and positive feedback, and both are really important. Yeah. So it's been really good. Thank you for asking. I really appreciate that.
That's amazing. Yeah. I've had a pretty great experience with it myself. I've met a lot of great guests and had some pretty amazing connections.
Good.
Led to some really powerful interactions.
Oh, good. Okay.
Connected with one gentleman by the name of Ryan Stanley. Such an awesome speaker and just a great guy. He and I have had some really great conversations. I think we have about 3 shows worth of material put together now.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad to hear that. That's good. I love finding people like that, man. That's a good thing.
Podmatch has been such a blessing. It's been a pretty amazing ride since we started back in last February. We really connected with a lot of really amazing and awesome individuals.
Cool. That's nice. That's where it's at. If, when you can find that, that's not, because not everyone gets that, man. Like for real, there's a lot of people I talk to and they're like, I just can't find anybody. And, but you've also done a good job. Like your shows, the quality's good. Your cover art's good. Like you're doing a good job with it. So, and then your conversations, they go a little bit deeper than the norm, if you will, you know, like it's not quite the normal conversation. So.
Glad that's really resonated with you, because that's where the whole seed was planted, just to keep it natural and kind of organic, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I always wanted to just flow it out there and see what happens with it all.
Yeah, no, it's cool, man. Yeah, I think it's good. It's needed because there's a lot of, as you know, especially social media, it's a lot of face value content out there and people look for something that's a little bit deeper and it's just not out there a lot. So I think you're offering something that's needed. So good for you for like, yeah, I don't know, being willing to do that, I guess I should say, right?
Yeah, you know what? I've been known all my life as that guy when everybody goes left, I go right or vice versa. I'm trying to find that movement in a different flow. So yeah. So,
yeah. That's funny. I laugh, but I mean, I'm sure at times that was probably pretty challenging for you at times.
I don't know what it was inherently in my DNA, but I was born that creature of change. Born that guy that is always wanting to push the boundaries, has always been with a grain of common sense, pushing boundaries of fear for myself. And I look to explore that notion with others.
Yeah, that's cool, man. I love that. Obviously, it's led you to where you are today. And from what even when I can see, even just with the podcast alone, it's led you some success and obviously influencing and impacting people's lives. So that's, man, that's to me, that's what it's all about, right? In the day. So it's great.
Yeah, I feel good about it.
That's good, man.
At the end of the day, that's what matters because it creates the most meaning for me.
Yeah.
I feel that allows me to be of greater value and service to others above all else.
That's cool, man. I couldn't agree more. I'm excited about what you're doing here, man. And excited to be part of it for sure.
I'm excited to watch you and your art. The more I get to know and the more I watch, I'm like really engaged with where you put your value, where you put your attention. That bigger thing of serving others really speaks volumes to me, of course. I connect with that more than anything.
Yeah, man. I just think it took me so long to actually find that.
Yeah.
If you will, like I was a face value guy for a little too long. Like if I'm just being fully transparent, like for too long, I was the guy who really didn't have a deeper meaning that I knew of. Like it was just face value. And I think that a lot of people get stuck in that where we just, we think that this is it. And you just put on the best face you can. And eventually your inside, right, will catch up to like, to the face that you're putting on. It's just not true. And so when I discovered that, man, like it led to more fulfillment than anything else ever has in my life and greater understanding for why I'm here. And ever since then, I've just been a different person. So I've always seek to somehow project that out to other people and have them like, I love them in your podcast, The Light Inside. I want to help them find that inside themselves and realize it doesn't have to be what you show everybody. It's got to be inside of you that you can find.
You know, that shines so true for you, brother. I can feel it. It's apparent in everything I see you do. Every action you take speaks volume, so I applaud that.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Let's jump in at this point today. That message is really ringing strong for me.
Thank you. Appreciate that, man. Thanks.
I've run into that point. It guides me towards this so much today that I feel this is our message.
Yeah.
I feel that's what we need to talk about. Do you live by that mission of seeking to be a person of value rather than a person of profit?
100%. That's me, yeah.
Driven by how you serve. To me, that's like, boom, you live it, you breathe it, throwing around that old buzzword of authenticity.
Right.
You don't have to put on that face value as we speak.
Yeah, but people have overused that word authenticity and it. I don't think people even know what it really means or at one point meant, but it's been hijacked. We can't use that word anymore. Being authentic just means showing people what you want them to see now, apparently.
Yeah.
But, you know, like letting them inside a little bit. But really, when it comes down to it, being who we are inside, which I posted something on social media. This was probably a few months ago, and I just posted something along the lines of, if your friends don't think you're weird, they probably don't really know you. And all of you are like, what do you mean by that? I'm like, well, truthfully, if we stop putting on the front or the authentic self we want the world to see, and we start just being ourselves, we're all a little bit strange. And honestly, we should really embrace that. Like the things that we think are funny, the things that we think are cool, the things we enjoy doing. Some people be like, wow, that's really weird that you're into that, you know? But at the end of the day, all of us are a little bit strange. And I think that when your friends think you're weird, you're being really transparent at that point.
I think I can see great truth in that. I think a lot of my friends would vouch that I'm just not right. By what standards, though? By what standards? We'll let that go with that. So let's dive in and share a little bit of your history and background. You started at the age of 12 selling golf balls, your first entrepreneur endeavor.
Yeah, that's it.
Let's jump in there. Give us the insight.
Yeah, that's a good place to start. You know,
it's fun.
It's the day that I really... Yeah, it's the day I realized that I actually had a mind for business. And a lot of the other kids in the neighborhood were selling lemonade. And I tried that once and I was like, I don't really make any money doing this. And it wasn't necessarily making money that I cared about, but I wanted to show for something that I was doing, even at that age. And we started selling used golf balls, me and a couple other kids in the neighborhood. We'd literally go get them out of the lake after the golfer would hit them in the water because it was a neighborhood golf course and 90% of the balls ended up in the water. And we would, next time they come around, we'd sell them to them. And we did really well for just 12-year-old kids at 10 to 12, I guess was our age. And after that, you're not cute anymore. So you can't really get away with selling used golf balls anymore. But we did really well with it. And it was actually an interesting self-discovery moment for me that I actually really enjoyed business. I enjoyed selling. I enjoyed actually collecting inventory. I enjoyed having a team and helping lead them. Like it was things that I really enjoyed, which it was for a 12-year-old, I know, or 10, I don't remember how old I was exactly, between the age of 10 and 12, kind of weird, I would admit, but it really propelled me into becoming the business mind that I became over the years. I kind of just ran with that and it followed me all the way through.
That's showing that great forethought of ambition, creativeness, and initiative, inventiveness. Those are the things that make a great entrepreneur from my perspective.
Yeah. Man, it really is. And it's funny for me coming back to when I was a kid, you know, it's funny to even like sit back and think about like that was learning these things back then. But a lot of us, we don't learn them until we're in it.
Yes.
And I think that a lot of us, we want to learn it before we get into it. So you start doing all the classes and stuff. And don't get me wrong, that's great. But nothing beats actually being out in the field, right? Like actually being in front of it and starting to learn these things as you go along and making mistakes along the way. Because I, for a while in my life, which I hopefully we'll get into, I thought that I had figured it out, but I learned as I was out on that field and actually in entrepreneurship that I really hadn't figured it out, even though I'd made plenty of mistakes along the way. I for some reason, realized one day, I was like, wow, I really haven't arrived. It's all a journey and a process. I recommend people just get in there and start being who you are and find yourself in it.
Yeah, looking at that thought and speaking to that thought, do we ever truly arrive in life?
No. I mean, I think that if you do, then you're putting yourself in a really bad place. Because Jeffrey, you like me, we've met people that have really thought that they've arrived, right? And they seem to really lack humility and they tend to start going the wrong direction. Let's put it that way. The people that are always the sponge, that are always the student, that are always humble, that are always trying to learn something new and still failing along the way are the ones that continuously grow. And in my mind, the people that are the most fulfilled, even though they do fail from time to time, but they're still the most fulfilled people I've ever run into.
Yes. It's that quest that becomes the ultimate goal. It's not so much what we accumulate or what we acquire. We're looking at that Immanuel Kant quote, "We are not rich by what we possess, but we are rich by what we can do without."
Mm-hmm.
What can we eliminate? What can we simplify rather than piling more on?
Yeah, so it's not really what the world talks about today, though, is it? I mean, we talk about if we're not happy, we need something else, is always what I hear, at least. We need more. We need something else. And for us in the business space, it's you need a new product. You need a new service. You need to make more profit. And all those things are great. But if you're relying to be for your happiness to be found in your business directly based off of its performance or what you're doing, or just in your personal life, the possessions that you even have, like you need a nicer car, you need a boat, you need a bigger house, all these different things, we're not going to make it. Like you're not going to make it there because all these things are, I believe, just small byproducts of what someone who truly is living a successful life has and is living a life of happiness. Like you're saying, it's found within, it's found with contentment with where you are, right? Like understanding that this is where I am today and finding a way to be happy in that moment is a beautiful place to be.
Yes, that's one of the greatest truths for me about not just being an entrepreneur, but stepping into that life of purpose, stepping into that life which creates the space where we don't run into lack. We don't run into all of this language of constant challenge, struggle, and need. We find our greatest meaning in that. How do you feel from your perspective, we balance that notion of finding value in life versus being of value?
Well, first off, I think that most people, I don't think we know the difference at times, like actually being of value and then having value ourselves, right? But I think it has to start, like we keep on saying it, but like within, it has to start with you. You have to figure out what you value. And for me, that starts with like your foundational standards. Like, what do you actually stand for? The only way that I've ever found that anybody has ever successfully figured out what their like foundational standards are and what their core values is through self-reflection, is sitting back and really thinking about, okay, who am I? Like, who am I really? Not what does the TV tell me I should be, not to what other people in my entrepreneurship space say I should be. And like, honestly, Jeffrey, not what you tell me I should be, right? Like, it comes to me sitting down. I mean, I imagine you have some high standards for me, all right? But, you know, like, the day, like, yeah, you can have some people in your life that'll be able to give you some great coaching along the way. But at the end of the day, you've got to sit back with a pen and a piece of paper. And yes, a pen and a piece of paper, not a keyboard, not a phone. You need to sit down and really do some self-reflecting, some deep soul searching, which I think is scary for a lot of people. But when you can figure out what you value as a person and who you are, you can begin figuring out, okay, this is also the impact I can make on the world around me. This is how I can actually help somebody. And when you can sit back and actually do this and figure the answers out, then you can start saying, okay, this is how I add value to the world around me because I understand what I perceive as value myself. And when you can really do that, I believe that's when you make an impact because then you're using your skills, your passion, the things that you are just naturally wired to do, I believe is directly tied to your purpose. When you're actually walking these things and you're adding value to people in these areas, man, that's when you really start, that's a slam dunk, man. That's when you start really winning and making a big difference in people's lives. And like I said at the beginning, like so many of us, we put on a different face and we don't actually know who we are because we haven't done the whole self-discovery practice that we need to do. And we're just out there, ooh, Jeffrey has a good podcast. I could do a podcast too. Maybe I can make money doing that. Okay, I'm going to do that same thing. Or, ooh, this guy makes a lot of money doing ads on Facebook. I'm going to do Facebook ads. I'm going to do this. We have all these different places that we go when we run because we're trying to grab onto something because we don't actually know who we are on the inside and what our value is to the world.
That, to me, connects in such a big way. We watch people setting goals based on the thoughts and opinions of others.
Yeah.
And then the question becomes, how do I do this? How did you do this? What works for someone else may not always be your truth, may not always be your answer. You can look and learn. You can act as the observer. But to truly know what you want to do, what you want to achieve, gives you all the answers and how you strive to achieve it, how it brings meaning to you.
Yeah, 100%. You know, for me, it actually, I think of the time that I really learned this, and this goes back to after my whole used golf ball experience, but fast forward about 8 years there, and I started investing in real estate, and it was right before the recession time in 2007 or 2006, one of those years. It was a blur to me, but I remember during that time is when I really had lost sight of who I was internally. And I saw people succeeding in real estate because it was just the industry I was in at that time. But I was like, I want to be one of those investors. I remember sitting in a waiting room somewhere. It was probably like a dentist or doctor's office, something like that. And the only time I'd ever pick up a magazine, but I remember seeing one right there. And it was like, it said something along the lines of top 30 under 30. So it was like the most successful people under the age of 30. And I opened that up and instantly felt that I found my calling, which was to be on that list, which is really not a calling, you know, like it was more like a,
it's a badge of courage.
Yeah, sure. Whatever you want to call it. You know, it was one of those things that was actually just furthering the fact that I was very self-absorbed. I wanted that for me because I wanted to be able to point that out to people and be like, look, here's me. And there was no other real reason or purpose for it. And to be completely transparent, I was well on my way to actually being on that list when I was in real estate at that young age. I mean, I was very young. I was like, I can do this before the age of 30. If I continue to invest at this level, I will be somewhere along this list. Might not be number one, but I'll be on this list. Then the economy wrecked. And that was actually my wake-up call as to realizing that there had to be more than just the face value that I was giving off and who I was. And you know, that was a time when I realized it, like, okay, there's more than just this and just like me following someone else's pattern because I saw the real estate people. So I just followed them. They did it this way. This is how they made all their money. So I'm going to do it the same way. And then realizing that, oh no, like that's not an option anymore. Now I'm in really serious debt. And now I need to actually sit down and think about who I am. And man, for people who listen to this, if there's one piece of advice I have, don't wait till you hit that rock bottom moment. I mean, I believe if you hit the rock bottom moment, you'll discover yourself because it basically, I've always seen that happen or almost always. But if you can train yourself to do this when times are good, not when it's out of necessity. I just feel that it propels you so much faster, because really, if I'm going to be, again, transparent here, it took me 10 years to get out of that hole that I dug myself into of a lot of debt in real estate. And so 10 years behind on my goal. But at the end of the day, those 10 years were very fulfilling because I actually found who I was through them. And it didn't really matter that I had made bad investments or that I'd failed along the way. Instead, I had a new light inside of me that I knew that I could run with that would actually add value to the world.
What role for you do you think that value of intentionality played in that for you?
Yeah, man, there's like a key word in my life. It's going to be intentionality. So I'm really glad that you mentioned that. It's so important because today's world, man, there are so many distractions. I mean, distraction is everywhere. Like, so for me, when I was thinking about intentionality, initially I had it all wrong, man. I was thinking about like, what are some quick tricks to get ahead? You know, like how can I like quickly just, if I do this, will I be more efficient? Will I do this? Living a life of intentionality goes back to reflecting for me. And saying, okay, here, once again, here are Alex Sanfilippo's core values. This is what he believes. This is who he is. And by sitting down and really looking at that and thinking about, okay, this is what I believe, I could be intentional in those lanes. And so for me, like a very practical thing that this meant being willing to say no, which just the way I grew up, saying no didn't come natural to me. I think a lot of people say this, you know, we're taught to be nice and be polite and don't say no. Like as a kid, parents are always like, nope, don't say no. You know, and it's funny because they say, no, don't say no. But anyway, so as a kid, I was just kind of trained not to. And then when you are wanting to live a life of more intentionality and focus and not just little quick fixes here and there, you have to say no to a lot of things. And that was really tough for me to overcome. But in my early 20s, just being where I was, I started really realizing the power of it. And I think the quote that really helped me the most with that, actually, a little side note here, was somebody once told me that no one feels obligated to ask you for something, so you shouldn't feel obligated to say yes to what they're asking. And when I really learned that and I started saying no to things that were not on my intentional focus to where I believe my inner purpose was taking me, it made it a lot easier to start saying no. Because really, if I was saying yes to all these little things, I wouldn't actually accomplish the intentional focus that I had for my future. And so I really just made it part of my lifestyle, and I evaluate everything till this day. With that, there's a lot of things I say no to that even sound like they'd be super fun. But like even being on podcasts, like I don't know how many podcasts I've been a guest on now, close to 100, and I get requests every single day to be on podcasts, but I only go on the ones that line with my intentionality and the focus that I have in life. So like Jeffrey, yours was one of them that I said, yes, 100% I'll be on this one. But yes, behind this one, there was five people I said no to. And it's just because it's just not the lane that I'm supposed to be following. So intentionality has been just so key for my life. And again, it's not the quick little hacks. It's more so living a life of intentionality, and focus goes right along with that.
Speaking to that point, we often feel that tendency to search for the shortcuts in life. We look for the hack, get there quicker. Sometimes it requires that we explore the virtues of slowing down, digging in, and being aware of our intentionality.
Yeah.
We all know time is valuable. Better capitalizing on our time can become such a greater mode of intentionality. So how do we leverage the two? How do we find balance? How do you feel we find balance between the two?
Yeah, you know, first off, you mentioned something really key there that I think that a lot of us, we look for those quick fixes. It's like taking the elevators versus taking the stairs, right? The elevator is faster, sure, but if you ever are in a situation where you need to be in a race or something like that, you know, imagine you need to actually have the endurance. You didn't gain any additional endurance by taking the elevator. The stairs made you a lot stronger. And I think a lot of us, we need that stamina. We need to be able to do that because at some point, whether it's been easy all along the way or not, you're going to hit a tough point. And what really shows that is, did you actually work? Did you actually take the slow road at times? It's a little bit more painful, but do you now have the endurance to get through what you're doing? I think that that's a really important point there. And in addition to that, kind of going back to more your question, what was the two differences that we wanted to discuss here? I want to make sure I'm going right.
We're looking at the difference between moving with great intentionality, greater focus, and then finding that economy of speed and a hack, a quick get there lesson.
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, this has always just meant, again, so intentionality, focus, so, so important. And then making sure that I'm just doing everything I can to stay in the right lane. I can't allow myself to look to the left, to the right, and I have to remind myself that constantly. And that to me goes back to self-reflection, making sure I'm reflecting and looking at those things. And a lot of us, again, we look at those quick hacks. And for me, I have to even evaluate those. There's some things you can do that will really help out. So for me, like keeping a daily journal, some people call it a quick hack, but for me, it's a lifestyle now. It's part of what I actually do to keep myself on track and going. And I think that many of us, we have to be willing to do the things that take a little bit more time and to follow that route instead of just going after all the quick hacks along the way. And then along with it, there is some balance. Like I said, like there's going to be things that really work for you along the way, and you just have to find those things, but you can't chase every little shiny piece that you see around the place, right? And I've been super guilty of that. People are like, wow, I could sleep less if I drink this, and I could have more energy if I do that. And you know, you have to like really look at these things and evaluate them, because there's a lot of shiny objects. And if we just chase all these things, I mean, let's just say you became the most productive person on the planet. What's the point of it, right? I mean, productivity without purpose is really meaningless. I mean, and going back to that time in my early 20s, I was super productive. And people were like, how do you do so much in a single day? But there was no purpose behind it. I just found all these little hacks to get things done quicker and more efficiently, but I didn't have a drive behind it. There wasn't like a deeper meaning to it. So for me, it was kind of meaningless. So for, you know, I'm kind of rambling here, but really the end of the day, what I'm really getting at is just having that balance starts with really, again, knowing who you are and where you're going, and then not going after every little thing that might help just a little bit, making sure that you just remember this is the lane I'm in. I'm just going to keep on going after it, developing the stamina, developing the muscle, the strength to keep on persevering here. And if you find something that helps along the way, go for it. And then pass it on to somebody else, teach them.
Yeah, I love that idea of looking at developing that focus of staying in the lane and being receptive. We're surrounded by a world full of distraction, and in that process, growing exponentially busier, less focused with our energy, and often we're more effective at creating a happy, purposeful life by putting intention and meaning into that. You know, in order to keep pushing up that bar of achievement and attainment, we unnecessarily expend a lot of energy. A lot of times we're caught in that notion of competition, the rat race. Mm-hmm. Why do you feel we place so much of a sense of competition on it?
I think one of the big things to blame is really social media. And I mean, I think a lot of people blame things on social media. So I don't mean to overuse that, but 20 years ago, we didn't really see what our neighbor was doing, right? Like we didn't know the successes of it. We didn't see the 35 likes they got, you know, like, and all that. So it was a little bit more private, and you just knew your circle, which there was some beauty in, really, because you could all like lift each other up. And I don't know, it was just a different time, obviously. But I think that that's one of the big proponents of why we feel that we need to do more. Because if we're not getting that, I don't know, that gratification from the world around us, we feel like maybe we're missing something. And the thing is, you'll realize really quickly, the people I know that are really big in the influencing space and social media, they get a lot of likes and they get a lot of comments and a lot of press. People are always following them. But they'll be the first to tell you, and I've done some coaching with them, and Jeffrey, you've probably done the same thing, but sometimes they're the least fulfilled because you can't stop. You have to keep on going. And it's like going after greatness when greatness is always a bar that's being risen by every generation, and every person is raising that bar. So they keep on going after this and are going for more and more and more. And along the way, it's just, you're almost losing yourself in it. So I think that one of the problems that we see in today's world is people feel the need to have that gratification from the masses for what they're doing. And it's why people that do anything even nice for somebody else, they want it to be on social media because they feel the inner need for like, oh, I need someone to praise me for that. And a lot of times it's subconscious. I mean, I'm not saying that everyone's like that. And I've been guilty of it too. Like you go back and look at your likes. If you get one like on something or 1,000, it actually doesn't make a difference in the value in what you did. But the problem is we live in a world that has put value in those numbers, which a lot of times it's not anything that's beneficial, and often it can actually be negatively impactful on your mind.
We look at that sense of hyper-awareness, hyper-focus. We're focused now more than ever on seeking validation, and more than ever on seeking internal validation rather than seeking self-affirmation. Where do I create value and meaning rather than how do people see me for what I am and what I create? You have that sense of purpose, that sense of intention gives you all the guide you need. Gives you all the guide you need.
I think that...
I'm going to sit on that for
right?
a second.
I mean, that's deep stuff, man. It really is. I'm thinking through that, and it's... I mean, you're exactly right, man. Like when we really are firm in who we are and where we're going, it helps clarify some of that, that it really is just noise and distraction, right? I mean, you and I are both in podcasting space, and a lot of people, the first question is, well, how many downloads do you have? And you know, at first I got into that. I was like, oh, okay, like I'll share my downloads. And then I kind of got to the point where I'm like, well, it doesn't matter. Like, if you're actually helping the one person that you were put on this earth to help,
yes,
then it's worthwhile. And I've become very actually confident in that. So for me, if there's one person listening and it's the right person, and every episode, I'm very thankful. At least one person will reach out to me and talk about how impactful it was. That's enough. I'm good. I don't care if 10 of the people listen to it, 100, 1,000, a million. Like, that doesn't make a big difference to me, because for me, at the end of the day, I'm doing this because it comes from a place of my core values, who I am, the value I can add to the world. And I always say the same thing: do for one what you wish you could do for all. And I have to remind myself of that, because the world makes us a numbers game. And for me, it's just not healthy to get into that, because at the end of the day, if I help the one right person, they might go help 1 million people from something that they heard from me and learned, and they don't have to put my name back on it. But if they can impact the world like that, then great. Maybe I'm only here to help one person, and they're here to help one person, and they're here to help a few. When you can think about that and tie it back to that, it's a good thing. I mean, you brought this point up. I think it's a really deep question. I'm glad we let that one sink in for a second there.
Yes. Yeah. That has such great irony to me. I read a quote today. To be yourself in a world that is constantly trying to make you something else can be the greatest accomplishment, the most gratifying and noble achievement.
Mm.
To me, that is like, what are you trying to do? What is your purpose? Where are we really drawing our value?
Yeah, I think a lot of us, we look to the world. And so we're looking at social media, we're looking at what people are saying and doing, and we're such an instant gratification world now that we kind of feel like, that quote you just said is great, but we look at it and we're like, well, I need something today to grab onto, right? And it all kind of comes back to just, are we really confident in who we are, right? It turns into a self-confidence thing. Are we really able to fight the world today? The world that tells us one thing when we know we're supposed to be another. Like you're saying, that's a beautiful place to be, if you can actually be okay with the fact that I'm not going to be who the world says I should be or wants me to be. I'm not going to fit that mold. I'm going to be myself. And then today, the people that actually do this, they're actually the ones that stand out the most. It's like a byproduct. You think, okay, I need to be like this because that's what the world wants. No, you just follow the same mold, and the people that make the biggest difference and even sometimes get the biggest recognition are the ones that have really figured it out, and they've broken that mold, because deep down inside all of us, we long for that. If you think about the people that you love to follow, like your favorite people that you absolutely look up to, maybe that you don't really know, they might be like mentors, even just digitally that you've never met and things like that. You look up to the people the most are the ones that are the most living in their purpose, in who they are. And that's what we all look for, like deep down. But when we try to follow it, we're automatically pulling ourselves out of it. And
yes,
I think we've all been guilty of that from time to time. You know, we look up to different people in our lives. And it's like, ooh, I want to be more like that.
Yes.
And maybe there's some truth in that. Maybe it's good. But again, it goes back down to like, okay, let me sit down and do what they did. The same practice of self-reflection, looking at where I want to intentionally go in life. And can I lead myself in that direction and break the mold the world has set for me? When you start doing that is when you start becoming that person of influence that adds that value to somebody else.
There's a meaning in looking at where we see ourselves in others, you know? It's pointing that mirror back to us,
mm-hmm.
to what we truly do, to value where we truly do align, what things drive us forward. Looking at that, why do you feel we have such a tendency as a society, as entrepreneurs, as people, to feel our goals and our dreams always have to be bigger, better, more complex in order to feel fulfilled in them?
Yeah, I think part of it is just the internal drive that we all have, right? I mean, we do have to fight that, because you felt that way too, I'm sure. You and I are fairly similar people, I think.
I catch myself there a lot. I tend to be a shoot for the big mark kind of guy.
Yeah. You know, so do I. Sometimes you just need those people in your life, man, that can bring you back down a little bit, because I mean, I think that we're both idea guys, and we have these ideas and these ambitions. I think it's really healthy to get that creative element out. I don't know about you, but I'm not a musician or an artist or really anything like that. Nothing that's a traditional creative, if you will.
Yes.
But I have a business mind, and that's my creative element. So for me, I've got 3 whiteboards behind me, and I love whiteboarding out these giant ideas that I may never do nothing with. But it's important to have that person that can bring me back down and be like, okay, we don't need to do this world domination thing, whatever this is, we just put together, you know, like that's a joke, but like we need to sometimes just sit down and just brainstorm those things out and know that, like, hey, we can aim for the stars there, but let's bring it back down to what we can actually do and what's realistic. So I think part of it, entrepreneurship in general, like, we just have those minds. We just need to figure out what we can actually do and what we can't and where a good line is. We don't all need to be the next billionaire. Like, we don't need to be the next Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk. Like, sure, those guys look like they have cool lives and things like that. But if you really actually sat down and got to know those guys, and I have not, but anytime I hear them in an interview, none of them did what they're doing to become the biggest or the best necessarily. They didn't have a dream to be the richest people on the planet or to have the most recognition for what they do. They started off with just an idea of something that they said, I can do this. I know that I can add value here. I can do this type of thing. I think that all of us, we have to start that way. We don't have to think so big. We have to think, okay, what's the impact I can make today? How can I get more traction with this today? What can I do to actually add value to somebody's life with this today? And we start doing those little steps. You don't know where you'll be in 10 and 20 years from now. But I think we have to look at what we're doing, what we're saying, and why we feel like we have to aim for the stars on everything and bring it back down to a realistic standard. Not putting yourself in a box, but just enough that you know, okay, this is where I'm going. And this is how I can slowly take this places. And who knows, the roof might get blown off at some point. I can just keep on going to the stars. But we have to start off a little smaller than I think many of us are willing to think, initially at least.
There again, it's that entire act of balance. Mm-hmm. Balance brings prosperity. In and of itself, I think the entire act of being human is an act of creation.
Yeah.
At our core, we are constantly evolving, constantly changing when we think about it.
Yeah.
We have that drive then to move mountains.
Yeah, man, we really do. You know, there's something I can't get this out of my mind because something you just said kind of triggered it here. But you recently did an episode with Mark Silver, The Business of Love. Really a powerful episode. I encourage everyone to go back and listen to that.
Yeah.
And I think that a good way to keep some balance in there and to actually be able to move mountains with what you're doing is to keep some love involved in what you're doing. For one, for the business, but also for the people that you're impacting. I don't mean to like change directions of this conversation because that was a really good episode. I encourage people to go back and listen to. But man, that's so important. And I believe it all begins with a place of,
that's great.
Of you loving yeah. yourself, right? Of you saying, I'm doing this to move this mountain because I know I can. And by doing that, I know I can love and help these other people on the way. And I think that at the core, for me, personally, like that's what it is. Like if I look at my foundational principles and standards, like we were talking about earlier, love God and love people are my biggest thing for me personally. So I know that everything has to go from that level. And I find balance by it being those two things, right? It's not just love people, it's love God, love people. And if I can do those things really well, I know that I can have that balance. And that's really led me to a lot of where I am today.
That has to be one of the most meaningful and thought-provoking conversations I've had through this course so far. You know, that simple act of love, not only how you project toward others, but how you're treating yourself. Mm-hmm. Those small things, the smallest acts of love, as we know, can be some of the biggest, most meaningful things to others. Done at the right time, some of those small things can also move mountains, change the world.
It's been true in my life. I can think of some small things that I've done. Like just to give you a real practical example here, there was one guy who I talked to years ago and I met him at church actually. And it was like when I was leaving and he was leaving too. And we had maybe a 5-minute conversation. And I just shared some truth with him about like his life because he had an entrepreneurial mind. He was currently working at Publix, which is, it's a great company. There's nothing wrong with it there. And I just shared some perspective with him about where he was at in life. Because he's like, I just think I need to be further. I need to do this and blah, blah, blah. I had all these different things. Like most entrepreneurs, we have 30 things in our mind at one time. And I just shared some really practical advice with him. It's just like, hey, man, maybe you need to slow down and be thankful for where you are today and do your best to impact somebody there and see what doors open for you. And yes, love those around you, love yourself and just do what's making you happy right now instead of thinking 15 years in the future and all the other things you need to do. Anyway, long story short, I run into this guy. This sounds mean, but I didn't remember his name. I recognized his face, but it was like 5 years later. At this point, he was getting married, he had a fiance, and he just pointed at me. We're in public. He goes, this is the guy I've been telling you about. This is the guy that talked to me like 5 years ago and it changed my life. And I never really, not that I never thought about it again, because it was a good conversation, but like it wasn't one that really stuck with me. But for him, he recalls that as something that changed his life. And I think that little things like that is what we can miss out on often, right? But it's one of those things, it's a single small moment that really impacted somebody just because I guess I was there, right?
It's that old saying that gratitude is the attitude. Mm-hmm. What things make us truly grateful? We look at that notion of gratitude And they're both similarly rooted in the word great or greatness.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at their deeper meaning, we find our greatness in gratitude.
Yeah, man. I think that being thankful for what you have and where you are is one of the best things that anybody can do, right? I'm sure it's been true in your life as well. Just being thankful, man. Like there's something every day happens that you can be completely thankful for. I don't know if you have this practice as well, but for me, every night before I go to bed, I think about the things that happened that day. And yes, sometimes it's a bad day, man, but I can still find something positive and good to just be thankful for that happened, right? I mean, I'm guessing you do something very similar.
Yes, on a regular basis. And throughout my day, through my interactions, sometimes that gratitude is as simple as, I'm just grateful to live another day.
Yeah.
To have that next chance to be surrounded by the people that love me and support me, to propel me forward, even in the depths of your struggles.
Yeah, I think that probably does a lot for you, right? Like even on a bad day, I'm sure that that's something that you can look back at and be like, wow, that was,
yeah.
I don't know, it changes like the atmosphere of your life, right? It really does, for lack of a better term.
Mm-hmm. And then we grow and learn by those experiences if we learn to tune into it and find the intention in it.
Yeah.
Finding the intention in that. Sometimes those days are intended just to give you the challenge to open your eyes.
Yeah, I think the bad days sometimes are what make the good ones good, right? Like you have to have a definition for each, what a good day looks like, what a bad day looks like. If every day was just all rainbows and butterflies, man, and it might not be good for you if anything happens. How we respond during those challenging times, man, that's a good thing, right? Like if you can actually make it through it and find something you're thankful for. I can think of some recent days where I had that were just really tough days. Like I put too much on my own plate. Usually it's our own fault, right? But yeah, side note there, but just too much on my plate, man. And it was a lot to try to go through and to process. And at the end of the day, I made it through those days because of the small things along the way that I was thankful for. Wow, I'm thankful that tomorrow's going to be a much easier day. Something as simple as that, you know? Or like you're saying, just be thankful to be alive. I mean, every breath we take is a blessing, right? We don't really know where that comes from, like necessarily, right? Like how that all works. I mean, everyone has a time. And I think that every day we wake up, it's a new day to be thankful and to express gratitude to everyone around you and do your best to impact them.
That propels you toward those little steps that keep you going.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about those little steps, having the ability to move mountains. In that great Lao Tzu quote, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. A single step. It's not a big goal, always. It's not a big vision. Sometimes it's having that simple attitude of aligning with gratitude and then having the intention to take the next step.
Yeah, all these things, when you accompany everything we're talking about right now with one word that people are so scared of, but consistency. It's consistently doing these things that make a difference. Because Jeffrey, I'll be real. Someone's probably going to listen to this and be really inspired. And that's great. I know that you go for a lot more than inspiration though, because if the listeners today do everything we're talking about for one day, it's not going to make a huge difference. It's what you consistently do over time. And like you're saying, that journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step, but the way you make it to the end is consistently do that one step, right? Just over and over again. I think for all of us, when we're thinking about gratitude, when we're thinking about living an intentional life, we're thinking about reflecting, everything that we're talking about today, it's all got to be accompanied with consistency. And because we're in the podcasting space, I'll mention this. I've interviewed some big names in podcasting. I say that humbly, but I've always asked, I'm like, how are you so successful in this? I have one guy who's one of the most successful podcasters in the entrepreneurship space. He goes, well, I listened to your podcast. He goes, the only thing you do different than me is you haven't been doing it as long. He goes, I have 7 years on you. He goes, just stay consistent. You'll get to exactly where I'm at. And that's all he said. That was his advice to me. Just keep on doing it and do it consistently. Yes. I think for all of us, man, I mean, Jeffrey, that's what we got to do, right? We got to be consistent with what we're doing and saying. It can't just be, I'm going to do this for a week. Oh, it didn't work. I tried to be thankful and I just never really bought it, right? Like I did for 2 days. I was thankful for 2 days. I didn't feel a big difference. No, it's got to become who you are. Like you actually have to walk in that sense of gratitude and make it part of your daily life. And when you do these things consistently is where you wake up in a couple of years from now and realize, my goodness, look where I am compared to where I was.
We look at that shift in mindset from being present with the state of betterment
mm-hmm.
to simply being mindful of becoming. Therein lies the superlative of what Lao Tzu was saying. The smallest step is the step that is the greatest step. The most important to that journey.
Right.
We can talk about walking 10,000 miles, you know. We can 10x it. We can walk 10,000 miles more. What truly matters is the purpose of that journey and what causes us to take that first step.
Yeah, I think a lot of people get really discouraged when they're trying to achieve their goals in life, or maybe they even feel a sense of purpose and they're not fully sure what it is. But when you look at like maybe an end goal or a destination, because a lot of us, we get stuck on the destination, but really it is about the journey, not necessarily the destination. But we look at the destination and it looks scary because it's so far. And maybe it's such a big dream that you have inside of you. You're like, oh, never going to get there. But Jeffrey, exactly like you're saying, if you take one step every day, you'll find that you get closer and closer to that. And I think that we get a little discouraged because we're not good at breaking down something really big that we're looking at. Like if we have this vision inside of us to really impact the world in a big way, we have to learn to decompress that as something so huge and so massive that's going to take us a lifetime to achieve, to what's the one step today that I can do to really show up and serve the world around me, that I can really use whatever is inside of me to actually impact somebody. If I can find the one thing today, I'll do one more thing tomorrow. And then the next day I'll do one more thing. And I think a lot of us though, we just look at the big picture and we never make any progress because we're scared to start, because we feel like it's not a step. We feel like it has to be a big jump or a sprint, right? So it's like, oh, I don't know, I can't do that today. I have too much going on. But if you can find the one little thing to do every day, that breeds the consistency. And that's what ultimately leads you, I believe, to achieving what has been put in your heart.
That's powerful. Such power, such truth in that.
Yeah, I'm sure you've seen that for your life
Whether
too.
We walk 500 miles like that old Proclaimer song, I'm going to be, or whether we set our intention to walk 10,000 more, our intentions are ultimately what set our sense of what brings us the most value and meaning, what brings us joy and happiness. What are we going to truly be in this life?
I think you're providing a different perspective for people, man. Like really are. Like this is not the norm that people are used to hearing at all. But like you're saying, everything we're talking about right now, it's all got to come from you within, because
so true.
Jeffrey, what makes you happy and what you feel is inside of you is not even close to what's for me, right? And I feel like we're pretty similar, but it's going to be different. And I think that everyone listening today, same thing. You can't expect to reach out to Jeffrey and him tell you, like, here's what I see inside of you. You know, like a coach can help, yes, but at the end of the day, it's got to come back to you as an individual.
You know, it's in our viewing of our greatest differences, I feel we find and understand our greatest commonalities and bonds.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at that vision of what the future could be, where do you see Alex going? And what is the legacy you want to leave behind?
Yeah, you know, something you said at the beginning, which is a quote that I live by, I seek to be a person of value, not a person of profit. And so, yes, you need profit to maintain a business, right? Like, and I understand, I know that. So I'm not trying to say, I don't want money or anything like that. Like, it's part of it. But at the end of the day, I see myself adding value to other people's lives. And it's everything that we've talked about. I mean, first off, this is an honor to be here with you today, because I've never gotten to actually break this stuff down. Like, usually people just want the top level of give me X, Y, Z, what you do, you know, like we're actually breaking into it. So for me, it's a lot of what we talked about here. It's me sitting down, reflecting with just a journal, which is literally sitting right next to me right now, and thinking about, okay, here's where I want to go. And for me, I know it's to help people that are really have a dream to start a side hustle for themselves and build one that actually makes some profit. Mm-hmm. I know that I'm able to actually help those individuals. So my dream, my vision is to add value to their lives. And so for me, I set a goal that over the next 7 years, and by 2028, that date's a little foggy there, but it's just because it's a little bit out in the distance, right? It's 8 years from now, I guess. And for me, I know I want to help 4,000 people that are in that space. And that is like my very practical, for me, practical goal is to help those 4,000 people really achieve some profit with their side hustle they want to do. And again, that's just where I know that I'm at. That's the person I help. Every time I sit back and reflect, I know that internally, that's what I'm here to do, because I know that I've seen it happen. Whenever I can help somebody like that, it just leads them to a lot of freedom as well. And in the process, I believe people start to discover themselves. And I think that that's just a byproduct of doing life for a little bit with somebody who really has an understanding where they're going. So for me, that's where I want to be. I've got a podcast and I've got my startup in the podcasting space, actually.
Yes.
And those things are just kind of byproducts of what I'm doing. Those are the places where I've seen the need and I'm able to add that value to people's lives.
You authentically portray that value.
Thank
and
you.
I know this means a lot to you in this statement, attract, engage, delight. In that is the value. In that is the value. The value becomes the magnet that attracts. Your value and ability to be profitable in the worth of others.
Yeah.
That's such a great mission to me.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. And I'm grateful for that. So where can we go to connect with you, find out more about the podcast, your mission with Podmatch now is such a huge game shifter, filling a void in a podcast space that's ever growing. And then also to find out more about your programming, helping entrepreneurs at Create a Brand.
Yeah, really everything that you need can be found at creatingabrand.com. I made it really simple for people. So creatingabrand.com is where everything's at. You can find the podcast. You can find links to podmatch.com there, or you can just go directly to podmatch.com. And everything I do is there. At the end of the day, you know, I always love to hear from people, like when it impacts them, but I have to say this, you've done a really good job with this podcast, especially for being so new. I think by the time this goes live, you'll probably just be over a year.
I'm grateful.
Yeah. This is a good place for people to be. Like I've been on a lot of podcasts, 100 or so this year, and you're doing some really good work here impacting lives. So I encourage people, stick with Jeffrey, man. This guy's going places, you know? Like, and I think that it's really important that people know that, yeah, you can look me up and I might be able to help some people, but at the end of the day, you know, I can only help who I can help. And I'm very intentional with that and make sure that I'm staying with my lane. I probably say no to more people I say yes to. But again, being here is a big deal for people because not everyone has found something like what you're offering here.
I'm grateful for that. You mentioned so much about being in that lane. I would encourage my listeners to go out and jump in that lane with you because this is such a valuable, fast lane toward gaining such a wealth of knowledge. Mm-hmm. That's a wealth of service and being. So I thank you so much for that. I'm so honored to have you here with me today. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the honor was all mine, really. I enjoyed this. So looking forward to hearing more episodes from you as well. I've really been enjoying what you're producing. So keep it up.
I've been looking forward to this conversation and I'd love to have many, many more with you. Well, thank you, my friend. Thank you. I'm so grateful for your time.
Thank you.
Sometimes we feel like we have to move mountains in order to create purpose and meaning in life. But the smallest of things, when done at the right time, can also move mountains, change the world, and add enormous value and meaning to others. To be yourself in a world that is constantly trying to make you something else can be the greatest accomplishment, the most gratifying, noble achievement. Slowing down our plans to become more aligned within our intentions often empowers us within an alignment that allows us to be more attuned to the essence of our being. We can accomplish this when we live a life of more intentionality and focus, moving beyond performing the little quick fixes here and there, and saying no to the things that are out of tune with who and what we value. Alex and I shared several key insights into why the power of intention is such a valuable tool in creating purpose and meaning. Now it's your turn to let others know what you found meaningful in our conversation by tagging us at social media at The Light Inside or sharing us with a friend at www.thelightinside.us. Join us next week as we talk with Michael Ian Cedar about the amazing power gratitude has when shaping our experience on The Light Inside.